the circus.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am really honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Doug, for such warm words. I spent 2 days this week in this room meeting with some of the GT Data Services officers and technologists from our Telops architecture group and from the client server organization that I represent. And I heard him talking about Doug. I heard him talking out in the hallway. The help here was saying, yeah, that Willie guy's coming over from Sable Park over here to the buffet. I think we better put up some speed bumps and slow him down. He's a growing boy, though, it is a great buffet. But thank you again for having me here tonight, and I really hope you enjoy what I have to say, and I hope in some way it ministers to you or touches your heart. But most of all, I really hope that I have an opportunity to glorify God tonight, because He has been a great and awesome God in my life, and I really hope this story has a way of showing that to you. I lay that before Him with all my heart. Well, I had an interesting childhood. I'm going to start way back. 33 and a half years ago, I was born in Taipei, Taiwan. I guess that means I was made in Taiwan. I was born on the Air Force Base there at Taipei. My father was an officer in the Air Force, and I spent the first many years of my life moving around every 2 to 3 years from Air Force Base to Air Force Base. Lived a fairly typical life. My earliest memories are in Virginia, with us moving to my grandmother's house as my father was being shipped off to Korea for a year. We met back up again with my father in the Philippines, lived on Clark Air Force Base while I was in elementary school for a little while. Clark Air Force Base was that Air Force Base that was nestled under Mount Pinatubo that I think God's Air Base Closure Committee met on that one recently and just kind of dusted it off the face of the earth when Mount Pinatubo exploded last year. But had some exciting times and really a very cultural diversity in growing up, getting an opportunity to see different parts of the world and to experience different cultures as I was growing up. Well, my father ended up retiring here at MacDill. We came to MacDill, he was still in active service, and we moved to St. Petersburg when I was just about to start junior high school in that time frame. So I've been here for quite a while. I'm a semi-native to Florida. And during those years on the Air Force bases and moving around, my religious upbringing was fairly typical of probably many of us. I jumped onto the Sunday school bus once in a while when my parents pushed me out the door. They were staying home, setting me out to catch the Sunday school bus and attended vacation Bible study, those types of things. But a Christian life wasn't really part of my family upbringing. Now, I want to honor my mother and father and say that they did instill in me, you know, very significant values of work ethics and of discipline that I treasure, and I'm very happy to say that situation has changed in my family now, but I'll get to that in the future. But as we started out, there certainly wasn't opportunities to share God. We said grace at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that was about it in the house. But as I became an adolescent, living over in St. Petersburg, attending junior high school and high school there, the first tug on my heart came when I was about 12 years old. I was attending church with a friend and was really there just so we could goof around as much as anything else. But I actually witnessed my first altar call. I had never seen an altar call before. We had attended church on and off, but not typically in places where you might be called forward. And I was so convicted with the word that was spoken that night that I, you know, amazingly to myself, stood up, you know, walked down, and found myself walking forward really to give my life to the Lord. Well, when I got up, 12 years old, up in front of this very large church over in St. Petersburg, I simply couldn't say it. I couldn't do what I went up there for. So I mumbled something to the preacher about wanting to be baptized, half-heartedly, by the way. and was ready to go out. Well, I was set up for the next night. They marked me down for baptism, and I was ready to go the next night. And my parents said, "Well, we're not sure. You know, we really agree with that. You were baptized as an infant. You were sprinkled, and that's that's a very significant point in your life." So they didn't allow me to go, and I understand why, but I was very embarrassed and somewhat horrified and convicted at some point during that sequence not really to go near churches very much anymore because there were embarrassing things that happened there. So I didn't go back anytime soon, and whether or not that's coincidental, I doubt with the trouble that really started to appear in my life. I'm going to go through some fairly serious points here about what happened, and I really don't want to. It's important for those of you that understand the workings of God. I in no way want to glorify the devil or the sin that was in my life, but for many people that do know me or know of me, it's very difficult to see the old person in the new person that stands in front of you today. God has very significantly changed my life. So without glorifying this sin or the devil, I would like to tell you about some of the circumstances in my life and some of the things that I went through. There's a verse in the Gospel of John 6:21 that says, "I'm ashamed of these things," and I am truly ashamed of these things, but we'll tap back into that verse and what the follow-up of it is, because I think it's very significant. Now, I'm not going to be real explicit about these things, because it's wise with my wife sitting here and people that I work with day in and day out sitting here from GT Data Services. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of glory details, but I will set the stage for you. It's about 3:30 in the morning on a school night. The police have me in tow. They're knocking on my door, on the door. The colonel comes to the door, very shocked. I am under arrest. I've had my rights read to me. I was with the 16-year-old girl that lived next door. Like I said, I'm under arrest, and I'm 13 years old. Standing there, I had things in my possession that were illegal, and this was a frightening and harrowing experience. But this wasn't even real new to me at the time. My parents were crushed, to say the least. This was not what they expected from me or believed in me. I was actually, for all intent and purposes, a good kid. I did well in school. I had a lot of things going for me, apparently, and to have the police bring me home under these circumstances was very crushing for them and for me. I was very scared. Within the next few weeks, the girl from next door disappeared into a drug rehabilitation program. I was being a good boy, and I was probably a good boy for at least the next 3 months. And then the cycle started again. The next decade had me experiencing many more close calls with the police. Just as a matter of circumstance, that situation really after the police thought they had scared me significantly enough, and I was scared, they did drop those charges. Didn't carry that record as a youth, but there was much more experimentation in my life, much more sin, and sin really had a hold on my thoughts and my life at this point in time as I was growing up as a teenager. But I want to paint an accurate picture for you here, because it is kind of you may picture a situation where I'm really dropping out or failing out or circumstances like that, God's grace and God's hand was still on me at the time, because he managed to pull me through school situations, and I always knew just how far to push the edge of the envelope. I still did fairly well in school. I still graduated from high school and went on to college and kept my wits about me in those situations and knew just how to work that. During those years, I really thrilled that debating Christians. I wasn't an atheist, but I was certainly an agnostic. I didn't know what I believed. I believed that there was a higher power of some type, but what a nebulous concept that is. And I studied Eastern religions, and I considered myself quite the intellectual and very deep in my thought processes for finding meaning in life. But soon I was graduating from college. I had been in these debates, and I had always thought I had won. But as I graduated from the University of Florida, probably began the most deceptive part of my life. For all outward appearances, I had really arrived. I guess I was a hot shot. I had a brand new college degree and a great job, and I had my health and energy and excitement. But all of that was kind of a charade, I believe. My whole life was, I continued to achieve the goals that I had set for myself. I really hadn't set goals beyond that. But what the goals of that day were really to spend my days at work and to get by and work. But the nights and weekends belonged to Michelob and who knows what else. I had spent many evenings with very little sleep, be out in the bars, out carousing and prowling, and the drinking and the binges and the excesses and the decadence were the milestone of my life, no question about it. And the fruit of those efforts was really beginning to show in my life. When I see people today, or headlines today, of substance abuses or jealous husbands or all types of situations where people end up dying, I really can feel that I can truly stand before you and say, there but for the grace of God go I. There were many times when I managed to drive home and didn't remember getting there. Not a good situation now. I'm really going to leave the rest of the gory details, of this out, but I can tell you that it was not a pretty picture, and I was really no longer harmless. I was harming myself, and I was harming others and relationships, and it was very serious. About this time, a friend of mine, who was very much a partner in crime through these circumstances, we were party buddies, we were always out. Well, this young man changed. Everything about him changed very quickly. He stopped drinking. He stopped going to the parties. He stopped doing everything except for caring about me. I mean, that was probably the earmark of the one thing that remained between us, is that he still cared about me. And he was truly my best friend. I kind of characterize him as, as just a party buddy, but this guy was my best friend. And he began to talk to me about fact that he had given his life to Jesus Christ. He began to share tapes with me that he had been listening to that talked about the power of God in changing your life and the authority of the believer in Jesus Christ. Well, at the same time, continuing my search for meaning, I was reading a book, a New Age book by Shirley MacLaine called Out on a Limb. What a book that is. I don't recommend it, by the way. But as a matter of fact, that book played an important role in my life, because I was sitting there reading that book one night by myself in my house, and the book made mention of Jesus Christ. Well, this was at the same time I was listening to these tapes and to my friend, and this guy had really gone off the deep end, by the way. He was even, reading the Bible sometimes, and he'd open it up and share things with me out of it. But since he was such a good friend, I paid attention to him. And I found myself, in a very deep situation there, where a lot of things were crumbling around me. My career had gone nowhere. I was 25 years old. I had been promoted once since I had started my career at that point in time. And this book also made mention of Jesus Christ, but it made mention of him in a way that said, yes, he lived, and he was a very spiritual man, and That's about all it said. And I was in a situation where I really had to reconcile in my heart the differences in the two things that I was faced with at that point in time. My friend was giving me information and witness that said Jesus Christ was someone entirely different, was the Son of God, and was capable of changing my life today, lived today, and could touch me. These tapes said those same things. This book really didn't give me any promise, but I found myself asking a very important question. As I sat alone in my house, like I said, I wasn't an atheist, so I asked God, I said, God, who was Jesus really? Who was this man? And I asked it in all earnest, with all desire in my heart to find out something here. Then, in a very personal way, God revealed to me, me who was, and so logical. Everything about my life had been, based on logic and what I could see and touch and feel. Nothing else outside that was really, was really anything that could ever be believed in a significant way. Well, God showed me in a very significant way who His Son Jesus was. He revealed to me that Jesus was indeed who He said He was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I found myself by myself in my living room on my knees crying like a baby, asking God to forgive me and asking Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. This event was something that really startled me. I'll never forget the next morning as I got up and drove to work. I was driving across the Howard Franklin Bridge. I still lived in St. Petersburg and was working in downtown Tampa. And the whole world, seemed new to me. I couldn't quite explain it at the time. I really had no depth in my knowledge of the world, but the water seemed to sparkle more, and the world seemed to sparkle more, and there was something that I later came to understand was the Shekinah glory of God all about me, because God had touched my life that night. I saw a new life that I did not know was out there. At that time, I couldn't explain it, but I knew what had happened to me was very real. I knew it wasn't something that I had just imagined or had just came to me over reading a book that was about philosophies. It was something very different. And I couldn't wait to tell my friend about this. I ran into him the next day and said, look, I've got to talk to you. I mean, something very exciting has happened in my life. And I got a chance to share with him, and we prayed together, and it was really a very exciting time. Many of my friends at that time, I was like the typical new Christian. I didn't care who I talked to God about. I mean, that wonderful first love feeling that you have as a new Christian, saying, boy, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. And, most of them would kind of pat me on the back and say, don't worry, you'll get over it. It's a thing he's going through. And my parents weren't altogether different about that at the time. They thought I had probably dropped off the deep end somewhere. But when they said, he'll get over it, I really knew deep down in my heart that this wasn't a fad. This wasn't something different. I had my heartstrings tugged on before, but this was a change in my life. And all of a sudden, at that point in time, it really dawned on me what being born again meant. Jimmy Carter had already been president, and I had loved to mock the term born again as much as any other non-Christian. And all of a sudden, it was with, startling reality that God told me, you now know what it means to be born again. You have that new life in Jesus Christ. And that was the event in my life. That was the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. But there's more to the story, and I really want to tell, now I want to glorify what God's done since that day, because there is something exciting to tell there too. At the time, I had been dating a girl that found this all quite strange. She could see some type of change in me as well, and wasn't sure what to think about this. And as boldness came to me, I began to talk about the Lord to her, and she told me she'd heard these things before and knew these things and understood them, and really wasn't quite sure she believed. Well, I think God had other plans for her. And one day she comes over to my house and she's kind of excited or, you know, embarrassed and says, you know, I really got to tell you something. Last night the strangest thing happened to me. I was awakened and I just kind of sat up and right on my lips were the words, Jesus is Lord. And it's just, you know, it's just an amazing thing to have sat up and you know, to kind of bring that to closure. That woman has become my wife, Brenda, who's here tonight, and my wife of nearly 8 years, and certainly a joyous part of my life. She's my helper and friend, and I love her very much. God led us to a good church. I mean, I really, you know, through the Yellow Pages, God will work through the Yellow Pages. We open them up and say, this looks like a good one. there's witness to that, and you know, we were soon baptized again, and we were soon married after that, and we attended a discipleship class in that church together that helped us very much to grow in the Lord and to be strengthened by Him. Since then, we have our son Philip, who's now 4 years old, who's a miracle in his own right, and we are a family that God has touched, and that's a and that's a blessing too. But since this is a businessmen's fellowship, I do want to talk some things. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what happened at work too. I began to work much more earnestly in my job. I had the ability now, it seemed, to focus on what I was doing at work. I was no longer more interested in what was going to happen after work. I was able to truly work heartily as unto the Lord, and it was very quickly recognized by my supervisor. Within 3 months of this conversion in my life, this change in my life, this new life that I had, I was given an opportunity to be a supervisor. And a calling, it seemed, began to become clear to me in my life, that God was telling me that He needs Christian men in places of leadership in business. He needs that. He needs Christian women who are in places where they can influence people, work, home, wherever. But God needs people to be raised up that are willing to stand for His values. And actually, the calling on my heart came in a different way, too. Actually, God encouraged me to go back to school. I started back to school. He blessed me with some new abilities and some new time on my hands, since I wasn't in the bars all the time. I had an opportunity. So I went to the University of South Florida at night for 5 years and got my master's degree in business administration. You know, somehow looking back on it, that was a very difficult time that required a significant amount of work and dedication on my part, but God helped me through it. At the same time, I got married during that same period of time, we had our child. And, you know, probably one of the most amazing things is with all this going on, over that same 6 years, period of 6 years since I became a Christian, I received 4 promotions into different levels of management at GTE. Which is really, you know, is really very unusual. And I certainly, you know, I want you to know that I stand here humbly before you, and I worked hard, and in many ways I feel like I did, you know, did earn those positions, but certainly God had that plan for me. It wasn't something that my abilities did. You know, God gave me wisdom and strength to be moved in my career, and He saw it as part of my calling and part of my destiny to be promoted into those positions. So often at many of those levels, I found myself as the youngest whatever in GT Data Services history. And you know, I really give God the glory for that. At the age of 30 years old, almost 31, I became a director in GT. I was appointed to the position on an acting basis originally, but later was given that position full time. And God really does deserve the glory for that. By being unshackled from my sin and the darkness that surrounded me out there, God allowed me to have new abilities and to have new strengths. And as I grew in His Word and His wisdom, He allowed me to prosper. and somehow, and I think Brenda will testify to this too, that that we did manage to achieve balance in our life too. I'm not a workaholic. I'm not someone who spends all my time, all my days at work, and certainly have had times and trials. And I don't want to indicate to you that, you know, that this entire Christian walk has been without trials. It's been with significant trials. These are, you know, these are challenging and difficult jobs for one thing, difficult school. Circumstances impacted us that, you know, that aren't easy. I often found myself in the quarry, as they say, where, you know, where the chisel meets the stone. But God builds character through trials. God allows you to be in those trials so that He can build character in you and strengthen you for His purposes. And I want to give Him thanks for that, and I do enjoy those situations. Well, I grew in God's grace, and one of the things that God blessed us with was a giving heart. And I say us because it's very important. I can't imagine being in a situation where you'd be a giving person for the Lord, where you'd give your money and time without the support of your spouse. And well, you know, I definitely proved the fact that you can't outgive God. The more I gave, the more God returned to me. I want to give Him glory for that too. I find myself today in an excellent church where the teaching is, you know, it's very strong. Tampa Covenant. I'm happy to see my friends here from Tampa Covenant Church, and I wish Joseph could be here tonight so I could give him glory as a wonderful teacher in God, and someone who will not let you rest, and wants you to be strengthened and go on to maturity. His message continues to be about maturity, and he's fed us very well at that church, and we've grown significantly there. I serve there now as a deacon and an usher team leader. Brenda serves as a leader of one of the Sunday school segments there, and it's really to God's glory that we get an opportunity to serve Him in those capacities. There's something else happening in my life right now that I really have to touch on, because it's not something that's announced in GTE, but it's kind of the next chapter in my life is unfolding as we speak. I think I'll make sure and give either Doug or Max in the relationships that I have with them through this chapter an opportunity to come back to you and tell you a little more about what that is. But since it's not something that's announced in GTE, I just really want to give God the glory for another opportunity to serve Him in an exciting capacity and to grow in the Lord in the strength that He's given us. As I conclude here, I want to talk about that over these last 8 years. This has only been 8 year time frame now since that morning in my living room. Just over 8 years, February 1985. I was 25 years old, and I was on my knees, you know, crying out to God for mercy. And I was a drowning young man. I was hurting and I was suffering, and there were people hurting and suffering around me. And I was really wondering if life had any meaning to it at all. And, you know, God's word of truth truly reached down and touched me and saved me from my own destructive ways. And my calling is sure now, and he's given that to me as an opportunity to go about and have an opportunity to share in business cycles and in business situations, to share His values and the things that He's given me with groups like this, with the ISOP group, as Doug mentioned, with other groups where I can, you know, try and promote the values I believe God's instilled in me. I told you I wanted to touch back to John chapter 6, verses 21 through 23, because I think they're a very significant testimony to my life, and I'd like to read them here for you now, because I think they quite well summarize what I've just talked to you about. Starting in chapter 21, it says, "What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'd like to close in prayer from my heart now to you, and I'd ask that you just bow your heads and join me in this prayer. Father, I personally want to thank you for this opportunity to share what you have done in my life. What a great and awesome God you are. I pray that you have somehow encouraged your people through this message. I also pray, Lord Jesus, that if there is anyone here who has never asked you to be a part of their life, that they would pray with me and that they would believe these things I say come from my heart and are true. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sins and bring me into a new life of trust in you. Amen. Amen. If any of you prayed with me, there's these fine gentlemen up here are excited to hear from you. They're very much interested in continuing to pray with you, to minister to you if you feel called to.